The main part of this podcast is going to be your top five, or not just five generally you can have, but five memorable episodes of Doctor Who, can new or old. So basically, no particular order, where are you going with these five then?
Well, I'm more the new Who sort of guy, rather than old Who. I think you can call it new Who. But I do actually have a top five. I was sat down the other night, right, what are going to be my top five? I narrowed it down to my top 10, then I've just kept moving them up and down, trying to work out what my top five would be. But my favourite is actually quite a recent one, and that's the Doctor. I don't know what it is about that episode, but I just really loved it. I thought everyone's acting was brilliant, and the ending scene between Tardis and the Doctor was just absolutely heartbreaking. It was well written and a really enjoyable episode.
Was that the Doctor's wife? Because you went in and out there a little bit on the thing. Was that Doctor's wife, yeah?
Yeah, sorry, it was Doctor's wife. Sorry.
Yeah, your Doctor's wife. Oh, it was brilliant. Brilliant performance by that woman from Coronation Street as well. She was brilliant. Yeah.
In the beginning, just one episode. A lot of people devastated that she's not going to be able to really come back, is she?
No, I suppose not, no. She's too busy doing other things anyway.
But what they had to do in the episode was absolutely brilliant, and you actually felt as if she was the TARDIS that was trying to get a relationship with the Doctor.
I think it's always been hinted at, personifying the TARDIS and stuff, but when they actually did it, I think a lot of people were thinking, oh, this is not going to work. But it really did work, and her performance was brilliant, so I think it carried it, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think they keep trying to kind of personify the TARDIS a bit more recently with the visual interface, but I just don't think it has the same effect as what Saran Jones did. I think we can call it Idris. I think we can say that rather than the TARDIS. But Saran Jones just did an absolutely amazing job being the TARDIS, being this crazy, out-of-sync woman, and Matt Smith and her just really connected. And like I said, that ending scene when she was saying, well, not goodbye, but hello, it was just heartbreaking to watch. Finally, after all of these 800 odd years of being together, this is goodbye and hello at the same time.
It's a weird one. Obviously, you've seen this already at the time of recording, but the next Neil Gaiman one's going to be on Saturday. So there's a lot of pressure on Neil Gaiman in the sense of how great this was, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I suppose if this is going to be out afterwards, it's not as good as The Doctor's Wife, but it's a damn good episode. The next one I had was the Matt Smith introduction, The 11th Hour.
Oh, yes, a very popular choice. Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for Matt, the coming David Tennant, obviously, is the Doctor to a lot of people. He's what helped Doctor Who become popular. Obviously, Eccleston brought the Doctor back. Everybody loved him for that. He made Doctor Who return. He was a strong actor. But I think it was David Tennant that made Doctor Who what it is, made it popular, made it people in the public fall in love with it because of the way he is. And Matt Smith, for his first episode, had a lot of he had big shoes to fill, really. And there was a lot of people worried because he's an actor that nobody had heard of. He's young, he's one of the youngest Doctors we've had, and a lot of people were worried. And then he just came on the screen, this zany, fun Doctor, something we haven't seen in a long while. And it was brilliant. It was well written by Stephen Moffat. I think a lot of people liked what Moffat's done in previous episodes. They may not agree with the way the storylines have went in the recent series, but there's one thing people cannot knock, and that Moffat can write a good episode.
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, it's hard for Moffat. I think it's hard for anyone to be a showrunner, but when you've done kind of one-off stuff, and it's almost kind of like you're doing a single if you're a music band, and then you're doing a proper album, it's never going to be easy. But The 11th Hour was just like a whirlwind of craziness, but it had so many iconic moments, Fish Fingers and Custard and blah, blah. It was just and it wasn't too complex. It was fun. It was just one of them sort of things that you need to hit the ground running, and he did straight away. So it still stands as one of Matt Smith's best as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think when people look back over Matt Smith, that'll be one of the episodes that go, wow, look how he won us over.
Do you listen to a lot of Doctor Who podcasts then? Do they kind of change your opinion on stuff?
I try to jump into different podcasts when I can. It's just finding the time in a spare minute where I'm not busy doing like my own work and then the site work. I usually try to listen to them when I'm driving to work.
Right.
So yeah. I do jump into some podcasts here and there when I can. Hmm. I've got a lot of catching up to do. I think I'm about 3 years behind on some people's podcasts. But I do try to jump in. It's just interesting hearing other people's opinions. And I haven't really looked at many people's opinions of the 11th Hour, but generally I think it's been regarded as one of Matt Smith's best.
Yeah, definitely. I think when it first came out, podcasts, everyone was like, yeah, this is scary at first, what it's going to be like, but yeah, love it. But, I mean, this series has got very polar opposites. Some people love it and some people really don't like it. And I've never seen a Doctor Who season that kind of polarised people so much.
I think it's because, like I say, Tennant won a lot of people over. And I think it's now, when we're a few seasons in with Matt Smith and he's really settled in the role and people are accepting him as a Doctor, I think those people could probably go back and appreciate what he did.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, it's weird thinking of how far along we have come with Matt Smith as well. There's been a lot of episodes and a lot of kind of, will he go soon? Will he? Oh, is he staying? And all that sort of thing. And he's kept going. And it's I think a lot of people are just want to bash the showrunner. That's basically the game they play, isn't it? And
yeah.
I mean, I've seen someone on Facebook who's like an acquaintance of mine. And he just said, I'm not watching any more Doctor Who because they're not bringing any classic Doctor Who's in the special in November. And I'm effing sick of Moffat. And I just thought, I don't get that. I didn't expect any. I was hoping that they might have an odd cameo. But, you know, people react and overreact angrily, don't they?
I think everyone has their idea on what they want Doctor Who to be. And not everyone's going to be pleased. At the end of the day, no. They have to appeal to the mass market. If he just did it for us sort of geeks and fanboys, it'd only be us watching it. The BBC, therefore, would not air it because there wouldn't be enough people watching it. Yeah. So at the end of the day, they have to do it for the mass market to keep it on the air. It's just us geeks and fanboys and fangirls are more verbal on what we expect. So because we read into this, obviously that's the only opinion we see when mass market is what keeps it on the show.
I mean, if you think about it, the amount of Doctor Who podcasts and websites, if you look at other shows that are on probably more in the year, they don't have podcasts analysing every episode. It's
about 50 amazing. Billion websites and forums all debating the same things. It's
like
amazing.
Gallifrey Base and stuff. You would never have that something for like Coronation Street, which is on every night virtually. It's bizarre. It's like
Coronation Base. I'm sure that'll be a great one.
I'm sure the Rovers Return forums out there somewhere. I don't want to diss anyone, but So what's your third one then?
My third is Vincent and the Doctor.
Interesting, because that's the one that's kind of polarised people. So I've heard some other people who really like it. Do tell why.
The one thing that won me over was one of the final scenes. When Vincent was in the gallery with Bill Nye, am I saying his name right?
Yeah, Bill Nye, yeah.
Yeah, that scene is one of my favourite scenes since Matt Smith has took over. I just thought the music was brilliant. I thought it was well shot. It was a very well-written episode. And it I don't know what it is, but it just really hit me in some emotional way that I was not expecting.
That's the thing with Doctor Who, it's clever because it actually deals with stuff which are universal things, like depression stuff, but they deal with it in a very sci-fi fantasy way, and it gets through to people, and people actually understand it more, rather than like ramming it down your throat with leaflets and stuff like that. You know, people actually get to see all this sort of stuff, and it just shows how important Doctor Who is, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And I thought Tony Curran
Yes.
Did a very good job as Vincent, and obviously he appeared in a future one as well, just in a kind of brief cameo.
Yeah.
And he did a great job, the kind of showed depression and kind of his battle with it. Mm. I thought Karen really showed some more emotional depth in her acting, because I know a lot of people weren't fans of Karen Gillan in the first, well, her first series, I should say,
yeah,
because she didn't have much to do other than run about and look all googly-eyed at the Doctor.
Mm.
And I think this is one of the first episodes where she got the step up and show her emotions and show that she's this loving, caring person. And I don't know what, like I say, I don't know what it is, but that episode just, it hit me at the end. And I just thought, yeah, this is TV I like to watch. I like TV that has some sort of reaction. And you'll see when I get to my favourite episode as well why that is. But this one just really hit me. Really did.
Massive writer as well, obviously, with Richard Curtis as well. Mm. You know, we've had some really good writers on the show.
I'm surprised we haven't had him back, to be honest.
So what's at number two, then?
Well, this one is usually people's number one, but I'm putting it at number two, and that's Blink.
Ooh, number two. Blink's gone down this week. Wow. What can you say that hasn't already been said about how great Blink is?
Oh, well, everybody seems to love Blink. And do you know what the thing is? I nearly didn't put it in my top five because I thought everybody picks it. But I thought, no, I've got to be true to what I enjoy. And I just thought for a Doctor Light episode, it's very, very clever. Again, Moffat, he does the job. He gets these characters, the brand new, he has 40 minutes to get you really invested in these characters. And I think the casting was brilliant. Well, just look at where she's at now. She's getting nominated for big awards. And did she win an award recently as well?
I'm not sure, but yeah, she is absolutely massive now. And obviously everyone wanted Sally Sparrow as a companion as well, didn't they, at the time?
Mm. You know. And would love to see her back, but I think because of what she's doing now, I find it very hard to believe she'll have time for Doctor Who.
Yeah, maybe it's a tiny cameo one day in a video shop, you know, maybe. It's,
but, mm.
But yeah, I mean, everything about it is just brilliant. You know, I've actually shown it to people who aren't fans and they've enjoyed it as well.
Mm. You don't have to be a big Doctor Who. You can actually appreciate it as a standalone episode.
Yeah, it's just like a weird horror thing. And it's also got that really sad moment where he's in the hospital and he's dying and stuff like that, and she sees him. So, and it's just got it. I mean, when you first see the Weeping Angels, I still think they're pretty scary now anyway. That's a given. But first see them, that's just wow. You know, it's such a clever idea, isn't it?
A lot of my friends, what they do, they convince people to watch Doctor Who. They say, right, watch Blink. And then they watch Blink and they go, oh, wow, that's brilliant. They go, right, now go all the way back to the start and work your way through.
And it's a great way of getting people into it, you know. It is Doctor Light, but when he is in it, like seeing video extras or Easter eggs and stuff like that, it's still integral and very cool how they've done it, isn't it?
I think it's also because you've never seen the series before. It's a nice introduction. Well, who's this Doctor? How's he travelling in time? How is he saving them? And it's kind of like, oh, he's this action hero. Look, he's got a bow and arrow and he's running down the street. And it's a nice introduction for people that don't usually watch Doctor Who to this character and to the series. And I think it's really convinced a lot of people to get into Doctor Who, which is great.
Of course, yeah. I think it was such a high benchmark for the Weeping Angels. I think they've been good since they've come back. But I think a lot of people still probably think this is the one that they always go back to in terms of Weeping Angels, isn't it?
I think it's the same. I nearly had some River Song episodes in my top five, like The Silence in the Library and Forest of the Dead, her introduction. I think it's too much. Like, you have this amazing character. Like, I think most people agree, River Song in those first two episodes she appeared in was brilliant. Everybody loved the idea. If this is the end of her life and yet it's the first time the Doctor's met her, who is she? She's this big mysterious thing and you want to find out who she is and it gets you excited. But now we've had her in more and more episodes. She's losing that, not charm, but mystery that made her intriguing. And I think it's happening the same with the angels. We've got these scary angels that have the blink, the move, yet in some of the more recent angel episodes, whether you blink or not hasn't really made that much of a difference. You can still run away from them, and they don't have that all, oh, if I close my eyes for 1 second here, that's it, I'm gone. It's, all right, we can run down a hotel corridor, we're on the roof. They've kind of lost the threat a bit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think sometimes you wonder if it would have been best left alone in terms of just leaving it as blink. But by the same token, when they came back in the two part and after that, I liked how they kind of did that sort of Asian horror aspect of it, where they kind of had, you know, they came out the visual screen and all that. So that was really clever.
You know? I think it would have been more effective, personally, if they hadn't have done the... I forgot what it's called now.
Time of Angels, is it?
Time of Angels, yeah. If they'd skipped those two episodes and just had Blink and then the Angels Take Manhattan, I think they would have been a nice little two kind of angel episodes that would have worked really well.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, you know, it's like it's one of them sort of things. If you were a writer, you would probably want to get
use the cool ones. Yeah,
totally. I must have to get some sort of fancy drum roll for number one. What's number one?
Do you want to take a guess? See if you can guess right.
Well,
there's a theme with my episodes. I see, because I was a big Moffat fan long before Doctor Who. He wrote and ran one of my favourite ever TV shows called Couplin, which was a comedy on BBC. And I'm a big Moffat fan. And when I found out he's taken over Doctor Who, I thought, great, it's going to have some more humour and comedy, which you can usually pick up on in these episodes. If you ever watch Couplin, you can pick up on that humour. And this episode is another Moffat-written episode.
Well, I was thinking the Doctor Dances in my head initially.
It's not.
Not, no, because that is a brilliant episode.
Anyway. Oh, it is. That also, again, is on my list of in my top 10. But this one I've chose is The Girl in the Fireplace.
Oh, I do like that. I do like that. It's got everything that's brilliant about Modern Who, the humour in it, it's crazy time and stuff. And it's kind of like, do you watch much classic series then, Dave?
I've only seen the odd few episodes. It's I was about to get Netflix and play catch up, but I was told the other day that they've actually removed them from Netflix.
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
So I think I'm going to have to raid my friend's DVD stash and get caught up, ready for the 50th.
I don't know why, but my head, when I think of this episode, I think of Douglas Adams' City of Death in terms of how they kept moving between different time zones and the weird, daft humour. That's what kind of came in my head, and it was, you know, that when he's jumping through the mirror with the horse and all that, everything about this and the scary clockwork things is just, it is a good choice for number one. I wasn't expecting it, but it's a good choice. Yeah.
Again, it's an episode which I've had recorded. I've got digital copies of it. My daughter even goes around saying, oh, that's Daddy's favourite episode. And it is just this episode that I think that's the episode that made me really fall in love with Who. I wasn't the biggest Doctor Who fan originally. I watched all of the Chris Eccleston episodes, but if I missed it on a Saturday night, I wouldn't really sleep over it. I'd just catch back up at some point. But it was this episode, and this is the reason why I've made it number one, this was the episode that really made me fall in love with Doctor Who, and it's just obviously expanded to the point where I'm now doing websites and all sorts with it.
Wow. Also, when we first started this, the sound was a bit ropey. So it was a little bit... Would you mind repeating your podcast link and all that? Because I think it might be a little bit too noisy. So if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, of course can. So the site I run is called Doctor Who Spoilers. Don't be too scared by the name. We do warn in advance what the spoilers are going to be. We have teasers and loads of information about filming and little tidbits from different magazines and websites. And we don't ruin the episodes. I'm strongly against doing a full synopsis of the episode well in advance, because that really ruins it. But I do like the kind of spoil and give you tidbits and hints at what sort of things will be coming up in future episodes and what's being filmed. And it is a safe site, so if you go on the homepage, you won't get Doctor Who ruined. We usually have some fun competitions on. I haven't mentioned this, but we have a competition at the minute where you can win some 50th anniversary stamps signed by Sylvester McCoy. So if you're interested in that, get on the site and have a shot at winning them.
And what's your Twitter handle as well?
The Twitter handle for the site is DW Spoilers.
Mundus podcast.